They're still delivered out, honey. Wait, okay, hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead with me and open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. One of the things the Lord is ministering to my heart about, and this is a familiar scripture, but the Lord is ministering to me about something. And I'll say this in a polite and a nice way. In the last days, in the body of Christ, there's almost like a spiritual schizophrenia. Here, up one day, moment, down the next, over here, over here, over here. People running, chasing things all around the nation. Nobody can get focused or their mindset. In other words, sometimes when you're like that, you become scatterbrained. All right? And I'm not saying this in a bad way to anyone, but the Lord was speaking to my heart about the spiritual battle that's taking place. Amen. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold, casting down every imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So what we're talking against is this spirit that the adversary is trying to settle in the body of Christ. I'm honored and I'm excited that Joel is back from Alexandria. Good to see you, Joel. Hallelujah. But in Galatians chapter 5, I want to talk to you about tonight about the spirit generates. Let me say something to you. If you're filled with the Spirit of God and these things are not flowing out of you, go back to the well and get filled again. Amen. And don't tell me you're spirit filled, but there's no fruit. Because if we're filled with the Spirit, there's an overflow of Christ in our lives that's spilled out on others. Amen. And he says to us in Galatians 5, verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, edifying one another. Envying one another, excuse me, not edifying. That's quite a difference between edifying and envying. Amen. I'm not going to edify you by envying you. Amen. So what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is allowing the Spirit of God to generate the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. So first I want to look at the fruit itself. And Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. What we're talking about, being filled but with the Spirit. The Spirit generating fruit. The Apostle Paul says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So in other words, we're going to delve into the truth of God's word. And if there's areas in our life where the fruit isn't being manifested, we're asking the Lord to help us in those areas. The first fruit of the Spirit generating inside of you and I, is the love. The love. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, in verse 16, he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Amen. You know, love will hide a multitude of sins, will cover a multitude of sins. And we're operating as ministers and children of God in love. And these last days, there's a perverted love. That's not true love.
That's right.
the perverted love, or the love that the world has, is if you do this for me, I'll love you. All right? God's love says, I love you whether you do this for me or not. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you even when you don't agree with me. I'm still going to love you. I'm going to love you when you do opposite of what I ask you to do. I'm still going to love you. Amen? And that love can only be generated by the Spirit of God. We cannot do that. What does our flesh want to do? Our flesh, when somebody messes with me, what does my flesh want to do? My flesh wants to mess with them. But what God is saying, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit is generating love, and that love's going to flow out because it's not my love, it's God's love, and I'm just a vessel to be used for His glory. You're a vessel to be used for His glory. Amen? I've had one of the most interesting weeks dealing with spiritual warfare. I've had ministers come to me, aged ministers coming to me this week for me to encourage them and pray for them, all right? And the battles and the warfare that's taking place. And why they come to me? I don't know whether you know it or not. God called me to be an encourager. Amen. God called me to be a motivator. God called me to motivate and to encourage people. And that's what the call of God is on my life. So even when pastors and ministers are going through storms, they call me up because I'm an encourager. And how many know that we need to be encouraged to fight the good fight of faith? Amen. How many times sometimes we feel like we're alone and nobody cares? Amen. We feel like nobody even cares. They don't see what I'm going through. I'm going through this all by myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. Then God places someone in your life to speak the word of God into you, to encourage you, to lift you up. Amen. And how does that encouragement come? It comes from the Spirit of love flowing out without any conditions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, well, with the Spirit of love, we have the joy. How many of you like joy? I love joy. I love joy. Amen. I bet you if you would ask anybody that runs or walks at Purcell Park in the morning, when they see me, they'll say, he's one of the most smiling people I've ever saw in my life. Amen. I'm running with a smile. Most of the time you're grudging, trying to catch your breath, but God's got a big smile on my face. Why? Because you know what? It's the first thing in the morning, and people need to be encouraged, and they need to have something to laugh about. I guess I get to be a laugh for everyone, right? Hallelujah. That's okay. To God be the glory. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8, the Apostle Peter says this, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy is coming from me being filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is generating love and generating joy in our hearts and lives. Amen. I mean, we sang the song in church. We used to sing that song in church. I remember as a young boy, and the people that were singing looked like a bunch of the biggest sad sacks I ever saw in my life. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Well,
yeah, but they looked like they were at a funeral or something. Does anybody know what joy looks like? Show me what joy looks like, everyone. What does joy look like? There you go. Amen. Amen. In other words, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, it's generating joy in my life. My joy comes from the Spirit of God. It does not come from circumstances and situations.
Amen.
That's human joy. That's worldly joy. Our joy comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of joy is inside of you. I've been in meetings sometimes where the Spirit of joy would come into the room and everybody would just start laughing.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Holy laughter. Amen? But not only do this Spirit generate love, generates joy, but it also generates peace. Boy, this is a big one for us. How many know that everything the adversary is trying to do to you is to steal your peace?
That's right.
If he steals your peace, he brings on some stress. And if he brings on stress, Amen. All of a sudden, there's sickness and disease that follows that. He gets his way, and that's the avenue he uses. But in Romans chapter 14, verse number 17, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy, where? And the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable of God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify or build up another.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen. He's our Prince of Peace. Amen. He's generating that in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm filled with the Spirit of love, joy, peace. They flow.
Yeah.
Then after that, where does it come? There comes the long suffering. Suffering long. one of my favorite scriptures I use to share the gospel is where the Word of God says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, like some men count slackness, but he is long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, the Word of God says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Amen.
Yeah.
What did the Lord say to us Sunday? He said, doing well when going through hell, when facing hell. Amen. That a lot of times that we're suffering is because of the one we're serving. Amen. Sometimes we feel like we did something wrong. It isn't always about what we did right, wrong. A lot of times we suffer for what we did right. Amen. Then we have the gentleness. This is gentleness. Gentleness doesn't mean soft spoken. You can be gentle spirited and still be loud. Huh? Am I justifying myself? Amen. No, but you have a gentle spirit. The Apostle Paul's writing to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. He expounds on this. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, sometimes when you're ministering and you're ministering to somebody, they're caught up in something. God gives us a gentle spirit to minister to them. We're not condemning them where they're at. We're loving them where they're at by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is showing gentleness towards them. You know? So it's important for us to understand that in different places, this gentleness is really valuable and important. Yeah, you know, I was in this one meeting today, and I'm not going to go too much into it, but there was this big story here that was all deception, but all those thoughts were put into here. But the Lord said it was deception, it wasn't true. And then when I met with the other side, the Holy Spirit revealed everything that was going on. Amen. And the Bible says for us to hear both sides before we form an opinion. I couldn't form one until I heard both sides. And you know, there's two sides to every story. You know, I sensed it wasn't true. Amen. But I had to meet with the other one. And once I met with the other one, the Holy Spirit showed me the truth. Amen. And it wasn't that the Spirit that they spoke, it wasn't what they said. It was what the Holy Spirit revealed. But it took gentleness, because if I went in with what I heard, I would have went in with a wrong attitude.
That's right.
Amen. So I had to go in as I heard nothing. I had to cast down every imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ so I could minister and bring healing.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not the healer. He's the healer.
Amen.
But God uses us to bring peace. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, so as we're flowing in this, he said it with that gentle spirit, there's goodness that flows out of it. Amen. And Romans 15. Are you with me?
Yes. Amen.
The Apostle Paul says this in verse 14. He said, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able also to admonish one another." I can't admonish one another without love. I can't admonish one another without joy. I can't admonish one another without peace. I can't do it without long suffering. I cannot do it without goodness. Amen. I mean, these all flow together in the Spirit so that we can bring healing. Amen. How many know there's a lot of healing that needs to be taking place in the world, and not only in the world, but in the body of Christ? Then he says, the faith, and this isn't saving faith. Everybody's given a measure of faith. But the fruit of the Spirit is faith being activated by the gifts of the Spirit operating in you to others. And James chapter 2, as we're applying the word, and verse number 17. The word of God says, "Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." We're talking about the Spirit generating fruit that I have love, generated, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness.
Yeah.
Amen. They're flowing out of us to others.
Yeah.
Amen. And if we're going to reach this world for the with the saving knowledge of Christ, and we're going to help change lives, we got to allow the Spirit of God to be manifested in and through our lives. Then he talks about the meekness. Filled with meekness. Meekness isn't weakness. Sometimes people think if they're humble and meek, it's a form of weakness. No, it isn't. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble.
Yeah.
And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and the which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." You know, so that fruit of meekness is coming. And the Lord, this last one here is really something, because the Lord is really speaking to me about this today. And the temperance. Well, wait a minute. You know, the temperance, so many times there's a difference between temperance and temperate. Does anybody have a phone? If you just ask your phone, what's the definition of temperance? He says, the abstinence from alcohol. Look it up. So if I'm filled with the Spirit, he was saying, there's an abstinence from alcohol there in the temperance. There's a fruit being manifested. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, but in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul's talking about two grown-ups, Spirit-filled men and women. And Titus 2, verse 1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, not temperance, temperate. All right? We're being gentle, calm, meek, sound in faith, in charity, that's love, in patience. Amen. But some people says, "What? Huh? Aged woman likewise. You ladies, y'all don't get to be excluded." Amen. So he took me there to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 5. The Apostle Peter says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and you abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Amen. So what the Lord was saying to us here tonight also, Jesus said in John 15, when I'm ministering and doing counseling with alcoholics, we're praying that the Spirit of God gives them temperance, abstinence. How many know if you're an alcoholic, you can't take one drink? Because one drink adds to another drink, which adds to another drink, all right? Jesus said this in John 15, verse number 4. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So what the Lord was saying to me, the Spirit's generating things in us. It's generating God's love. It's generating joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, along with faith. I always, when I quote them, for some reason, always have faith at the end. And I don't think the Lord really cares if where I put it as long as it's in there. Amen. But then again, he might be saying to us also, let me go back to Galatians chapter 5. It will probably take a measure of faith by the Spirit to generate that meekness and that temperance. How many know if I'm going to abstain, if I'm going to be abstaining from alcohol, I'm going to need an extra measure of faith. I need the faith of God to roll through me and flow through me. Amen? Does anybody feel fruity in the house? Does anybody feel like a fruitcake? That's okay. We can be a fruitcake. We can be all kinds of fruity for the Lord. Amen? I want people to remember me as being a fruitcake for the kingdom of God. Amen. I hope they remember me as being a fruitcake. Amen.
I'm plantain.
You what?
Plantain.
You're planting?
No, plantain.
Plantain.
Oh. Yeah. Five. You know, praise God. Let's pray. I'll start picking on Dusty. I still want to. I'm not going to. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're so grateful, Father God. Lord, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit, Father God. I thank you that you not only give us it by measure, but you fill us with it. So, Father, we're asking you tonight again, Father God, fill us fresh and anew, Father God. Fill us to overflowing so what it's generating is fruits of the Spirit that is being expressed and shown to others, Father God. When they don't deserve it, when they don't merit it, Father God, may your favor run through our lives and shine to others in Jesus' name. I thank you for every man, woman, and child in the room. I invoke blessings upon them. We thank you, Father God, that you're the glory and lifter of our heads. We're grateful that you encourage us, Father God, that you lift our spirits, Father God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them. That standard was raised on the cross of Calvary. When you said it was finished, it was done. So, Father, we thank you for all that's been accomplished and all that's been completed, Father God, and all that you're doing. So as I'm looking at this, Lord, and whatever I'm facing in life, we just need to remind ourselves that you're ultimately in control and everything for us to give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So whatever we're facing, may we look at it with an attitude of gratitude, being grateful that it's going to producing something in our lives that will be not only the benefit for ourselves, but the benefit of others. So Lord, we praise you and give you glory for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.